riding the cavalry, she's the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot.
have your Bibles with you this morning, we invite you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, in the 17th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Appreciate very much singing this morning. Kids, grown-ups alike, it was certainly beautiful, real in our hearts. Proud to have some more very dear friends of mine, Brother Alan Roper and his beautiful bride, Miss Evelyn. And, yes, they've known me about all of my life, and they still love me in spite of that. And, if I had done what I wanted to do this morning, Brother Alan would be standing here instead of me. Maybe we can get him to come back some other time. I know that you would enjoy to hear what the Lord sends through him. While the ages roll, we'll be praising him. What a wonderful thought. But there's a reason that you and I are here this morning. I told Brother Pat, whenever we went over and shook his hand and hugged his neck, he let us know how much he loved us, and we told him how much we loved him. He said, it's good to see you this morning. It's good to be here. And I said, yes, we're on the good side of the dirt, aren't we? We're on the green side of the dirt. We have work to do while we're here. And this goes right along with what the Lord has laid on our heart this morning. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Do you ever wonder maybe what your purpose here is in life? Do you ever wonder maybe, and I hear this quite often from some of our older friends and maybe those in nursing home, they'll say, I don't know why the Lord is still letting me live. And I like to tell them, and this is the truth too, that if for no other reason God is allowing them to live to be a blessing and a help to me. I may have already shared this with you before. I don't know. It feels expedient that we share it again with you this morning if we have. My wife's grandmother lived to be 100 years and 4 months old. And she would always say that. I guess from the time that Robin and I started dating, she didn't know if she would be there next year or not. Whenever we would come back for a Christmas gathering or something, it seemed like every year she didn't know if she was going to be able to make it one more year. But I would always pick on her, aggravate her. And I would always say, Miss Cox, have you ever been saved? Now, at 100 years and 4 months old, she would always say, Lord, yes, Tim, I have. But remember, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-children, some of them may not have been. You would walk in and she wouldn't always remember you. Sometimes you would have to tell her. But she remembered that she had been saved by God's marvelous grace. I'm still amazed that God would say, somebody like me, some poor wretched sinner like I am, and you know what the best part is that even though that God saved me when I a 9-year-old boy, even though a lot of times I stray, a lot of times I don't do exactly like God would have me to do, I'm still saved today.
Amen.
Brethren, I'll tell you what, you can have those that'll tell you that you can lose your salvation. Glory this morning. My Savior Jesus
baby Savior, another baby Jesus to be born again the next time. Listen, Bible brethren, the next time that my Savior comes, the next time that my Jesus comes, He's not going to be coming in meekness, but He's going to be coming in power, in glory. It's amazing, and I'm still amazed today.
Do you ever wonder, maybe we'll get to read this in a minute, is there not a cause, church? Have you ever wondered why Jesus loves you so much? Why Jesus loves me so much? We were blessed last night to go and be with the senior class, and they had a get-together, and boy, we ate, and we probably sinned. Because we ate so much, we began to speak to them, and I told them how much that I love them, and I do, and I love you. I know this morning that that's kind of hard to believe, but have you ever wondered why God loves you so much? Let me just tell you, He created you.
But that we might walk with each other this morning.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, God loves you so much. Tim, why do we have troubles? Why do we have trials? It's because of sin in our lives. It's because that we don't follow the will of God. Have you ever done this? I want to do it my way. I listen a lot of times. Bless your heart. I don't even have time to wait on the Lord. I want to do it. I've got it figured out. I want to do it the way that I want to do it. And I want the outcome to be the way that I want it to turn out. But I'll tell you what. God has a perfect will, and He's got a perfect plan just for you. Read with us, if you would, in that 17th chapter of Samuel, in the 29th verse. And David said, "What have I not now done? Is there not a cause? What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, which David spake, and they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Is there not a cause? You know the story. Our children can tell it to us. How that David, his father had told him, he said, your brothers are over there fighting against the Philistines. He said, you take them something to eat and you take them something to drink. David got to the there where the army was, and they were arrayed in battle. There came forth this son. A little smart aleck kid, just a young youth. You don't know anything they said on top of that. How were those few little old sheep that our dad lets you keep? You think you're something just because you keep those few little sheep. I'll tell you, church, this morning, that little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
God may have called you out of pastor, brethren, this morning, a church of 20,000 folks. God may call you out of pastor, a church of 10. But I'll tell you what, those 10 are just as important as those 20 or 30,000. Sit in your place and pray. I'll tell you what, every job is important today. Yes, it is. Why, David said, I'm going to go and I'm going to fight for God. You know what? Jeremy, you talked about it the other night. You know whose place it was to go? It was King Saul's. He was the king. He should have been the one that went. I'll tell you what, the Bible says in the New Testament that God will confound the wise with the ignorant. He'll confound the strong with the weak. Paul said, I must decrease so that God can increase. Want all the honor and glory. Whenever something good happens, it's natural, isn't it? I'll tell you what, church, if we'll give God the honor and the glory and all that's said and all that's done, we'll be a lot better off. Well, we're going to get him over there and we're going to fight Goliath in a minute, I hope. David, he said, I'm going to go and fight him. And the word got back to King Saul. He said, send him up here. Let me take a look at him. And David went, just a young, little old lad. And he went before the king. Saul says, there ain't no way that I'm going to let you go. There's no way that you're going to be able to fight Goliath. He's a man of war. And you're just a youth. You don't have any experience. And David told him, he said one time, there was a bear and a lion that came and took my father's sheep. And he said, God delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. No matter today, church, what trouble comes in your life, what heartache, what sorrow may come, you'll depend on God today. He'll deliver you. Listen, if God brings you to it today, you can trust in Him that He'll bring you through.
Yeah.
He will. God brings you to a point in your life. God will bring you through. David went, he said, I know there's a cost. Saul says, well, if you're going to go, he said, here, you take my armor, you take my sword, you take my shield, you take my greaves. Those are the things they put on their legs to protect their legs. David put on Saul's helmet. Put on all of his armor. Can't you see him? David, just a little old lad of a boy, and Saul, a great big huge man. I bet it swallowed him up. He couldn't even walk with all that on. And David looked at Saul and he said, I can't use these things because they've never been tried. Listen, church, you go with the things that's been tried in your life before. Why, it seems in this day and time that we live in, there's a great push to take different versions of the Bible and use them. Brethren, I'll tell you what today I use. Countries in the world, this generation that we're living in today, I'd say this congregation is probably the most educated congregation that I've ever tried to pastor. School teachers, principals, folks with college degrees, nurses, all sorts of folks that have education. But yet we say we can't understand the King James Version of the Bible. We say we need something more simple. I'll tell you what. My Bible says for you and I to seek out the old paths. Yeah. Listen, a lot of times we get mixed up, don't we? We stop there. That gets in tradition. Into tradition if you stop there just seeking out the old paths. It says seek out the old paths. Wherein is a good way. And walk ye. And you'll be blessed, yes you will. Well, old David, he tore off that armor and he said, I'm going to fight him with the gifts that God has given to me. He said, I've got a sling and I've got a little old pouch here on my belt. And you know what he did? The Bible said that he went down to the brook and he knelt down in that brook and he picked out five smooth stones. Listen, somebody asked me, Tim, why? How did he pick out five? Did he not have enough faith? The only thing in this ain't Bible, but the only thing that I can come up with, those five stones was for his other five brothers. One for each one of them. Say one time that he was standing on the rock. He said, Tim, he said, I slid all over it, but I have never fell off. Church, I'm glad that my feet are planted on the rock. Jesus Christ, can't you see? Old David, with a prayer in his heart, as he went down to that brook and picked those stones up out of that brook and began to put them there in his little old pouch. And as he began to run toward old Goliath, Goliath began to laugh. He said, what am I? Just a dog. That you would send just a child to come up in the battle after me. Listen, I see old David begin to run and take that swing. swing, begin to swirl it around his head. Listen today, with all the confidence, and the power that God had to give him, as he took aim, and he let that rock go, and it hit Goliath in the head, and he fell over. Bless your heart today. That rock from David wasn't what killed Goliath. But David didn't miss a lick, brethren. He kept on running. As Goliath fell over, David went up and stood on top of Goliath and took Goliath's own sword and cut his throat.
You know what happened? The rest of the Philistine army turned and ran the other way. Church, God has given you great power in Jesus Christ. We tried to talk to you last Sunday about when Jesus left. He said, when you receive power from on high, I want you to do these things. Go out and witness to your home church, to your community, to the world. You have received that power when Jesus saved you. You got all the tools. Brother Barry, come get a song. You got all the tools. You got all the weapons. You got everything that you need. Paul talked about having the helmet of salvation, a breastplate. You know what I don't see in Paul's description of the army, of the soldier of Jesus Christ? I don't see any protection on the back. There's no room, church, to turn around and go the other way. Onward, Christian soldiers, forward. When David cut Goliath's head off, he took that head back to King Saul. You know what they did? They showed it there to the children of Israel. And there was great joy in that city. You know why I love to hear testimonies so good? It's because it's victories. Battles that's been fought and victories that have been won. I love to hear about them, don't you? I love it when saints of God stand. You know what? When I was a child, I knew what most everybody would say when they stood up. They'd say, first of all, Tommy, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. Victory was won at Calvary. And listen, if you're here today, there's trouble in your life, and you don't have that blessed assurance that one of these days, when you die, that you'll have a home in heaven. I beg you that you come to this altar. There's a call and there's a need in your life today to be saved. Tim, can I just sign a card? Tim, can't you save me? Tim, can I just repeat a prayer that you tell me to repeat? Bless your heart. I couldn't even save my own self. But Jesus could and did. And I'll tell you what, if you'll just tell Jesus what's on your heart. We talked a lot during revival this summer that it's as easy as ABC. Paul in the Bible said, if you'll admit that you're a sinner, if you'll believe that He is Christ, and you confess your sins, thou shalt be saved. I can't tell you, Tim, what did you pray? I don't know. But brethren, it worked.
Yeah.
I got through. You just come. Have a little toss of Jesus. He'll save your soul. Won't you step out from where you are? Come and kneel.
be saved.
Follow us in. 536. Everybody so happy? I am. I really am. I thank the Lord.
I'd like to hear I'll meet you by the river.
Okay. I'll meet you by the river.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Jenna, good to see you. Your husband will be coming home here another week or two. So that's all. So I'll pray for his sake. All minds and hearts are clear. Brother Allen, you dismiss us in prayer.
Our good loving Heavenly Father, thank you again today for this beautiful Lord's Day and for the privilege of coming back to your house to worship a true and living God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, and Lord, greatest of all, what our hearts have felt this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just being God again and doing the things for us that we're not able to do ourselves. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless this church with the richest of your blessings, together with this good humble pastor and his family. Lord, draw closer together that they might know you and the forgiveness of sin and preach what thus saith the word of God. Lord, thank you for the message this morning. We couldn't thank you enough, Heavenly Father, because we heard a message one time from you. We accepted you on the terms of the gospel, and yes, Lord, we've been saved ever since then. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for that little still small voice that just spoke this morning and said it's a Sabbath. Time to go back to my house and worship. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your mercy that you've extended to us all the days of our life. And Heavenly Father, if we ever make it to heaven, we believe we will. Yeah. Lord, I know I will today, I don't believe. But I know it's going to be through your mercy and your goodness that I have obtained a home in heaven. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Forgive us every mistake you've ever received within us. And always love us freely, for we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.